What is going on, guys? Your boy Elroy here, and welcome back to the Your Boy Elroy MMA podcast. I am your host, Josh Prep Egina, and we're back, baby. Week off from MMA, but a ton of wrestling that we will get into. But thank you so much for tuning in right off the back. I am so grateful for you guys. You know, the last few months, life has been insane, to say the least. Just tough, let's be honest. It's been a tough year so far, 2022, but the you know, things are starting to look up. We'll just say that. We'll leave anything else. Yeah, that's me lighting a candle. I like to candle lit podcasts on YBE since the beginning of this show. But yeah, things are looking up. And there's a lot of things, a lot of news that you guys hear soon that I'm very proud of. But before that, I need everybody to just send their well wishes to my family, and specifically my grandmother, my dad's father. Her name is Carmen. That is my mama Carmen. And she's not doing too well right now. But you know, it's tough. It's real tough to say that after, you know, the loss of my mother, a few months ago now. And I couldn't imagine losing my grandmother as well in the span of a few months. So, you know, it's not looking great, but I believe in miracles. So I just hope that she gets better. You know what I mean? And I can use everybody's well wishes and prayers. So thank you. Thanks in advance. I appreciate every single one of you. But let's get into it, man, because it has been a week. The crazy thing is that it's been a week, but not that much news. I think it's more just a week of excitement because of UFC 273. If you're anything like me, just I don't know if I'd call like a, this is the thing. So, you know, for about a year now, you know, my only wrestling watching habit has been every week in front of the TV for whatever AEW is doing. Doesn't matter, you know, the circumstance, I'm in front of that TV or I have it pulled up and I'm watching. But when it comes to WWE, I didn't have that same sense of urgency, as they say. I wasn't like I gotta watch this as soon as it happens. And big shows, yeah, I'll watch them. If I hear that there was an awesome match, which is very rare, I'm like, you know, I'll watch it. But Mania is different. You know what I mean? And I'm just telling you right off the bat, this is going to be wrestling heavy for the first half. We will get into some MMA stuff in the second half, but I feel like I have to pay off last week's WrestleMania because it deserves an applause. I think that the WWE did a phenomenal job. Obviously, they had booked a really good card over the span of two nights, and it's tough to do those two nights, but I loved it, man. I enjoyed it. It felt good to sit back and watch, you know, I call wrestling my first love. You know, Matt Manis Wrestling Podcast, first podcast that I ever did. I always say they gave me my shot, you know what I mean? And I'm grateful for them, and I'm grateful to see all the success that they're having with the launch of their YouTube channel and weekly, yes, I said it, weekly videos on the Matt Madness Wrestling Podcast YouTube channel. But you know, we're here, and we get to talk about it now. So let's talk about it, because WrestleMania Night 1 was incredible. It was, you know, the whole WrestleMania weekend is something that pre-pandemic I got to do two times. And that's, you know, in the last 6 years, I've been to WrestleMania twice. And it's been amazing. Those are my first two Manias. I went to the one in Orlando, and then I went to the one in New Orleans. Both amazing shows for different reasons. I think, you know, the one I enjoyed the most attending was the one in Orlando. There's just something about your first one. Probably the better one with, like, match quality was probably the one in New Orleans. I was with a group of friends. You know, I really enjoyed it. But the first one in Orlando, I got to, you know, enjoy it with my brother. We were outside. It was awesome. So I'm jealous for these people in Texas, man. A little too many people, though, for me. Like, I would not want to be in that arena. I think I would be a tiny bit anxious. But WrestleMania weekend as a whole is like a religious outing. It's amazing. And I spoke a bit about it last week where, you know, I spoke about some things that I was excited for. And one of the main things I was excited for was Ring of Honor, Super Card of Honor. Now, with Tony Khan's purchase of Ring of Honor, there was obviously a ton of eyes on the product. You know, last week, and it lived up to the hype, man. It was amazing. Some of the matches were outstanding, but I want to focus on two things, two big things. One was maybe one of my top 10 favorite wrestlers of all time, Samoa Joe, debuted or, you know, came back to the promotion. And we have now learned that he has signed a contract with All Elite Wrestling. And with that, he will obviously be on Ring of Honor television. And two, the FTR versus the Briscoes match. Amazing, amazing tag match. Just incredible what these guys were able to do. No crazy stunts, no gimmick match, just a straight up tag match. It was violent. It was technical. It was so much fun. There was no time in that match where I was bored. And I noticed this thing about me when I watch, and it happens, you know, to go back to MMA, it happens with MMA a lot, where when I'm excited for something, I have this, like, nervous giggle. Like, this weekend, we'll put it, for instance, you know, we'll obviously get more into it later, but this weekend, with the Khamzat fight, every time I think about that fight, I have this, like, smirk on my face. Like, I can't wait to see that fight. But during that FTR Briscoes match, I just had a, as they say, shit-eating grin on my face. I enjoyed every second of that fight, of that match. And it, you know, kept going for FTR this week when on Dynamite, today's Thursday, last night on Dynamite, Wednesday, they crushed it again. It was incredible what they were able to do with the Young Bucks. Now, that had a little more high flying, you know, but that stuff, FTR breaks it down. They're extremely technical. They can hang with the Flyers. And, man, they are the best tag team on planet Earth. They are the best tag team right now. They've had some of the most iconic matches in my, you know, last 5 years of watching wrestling. They are the best tag team. They've had the most amazing matches. They've kept these characters just beautiful. Whether you're a heel, this babyface run that they're on right now, it is phenomenal. They've delivered in NXT, SmackDown, Raw, AEW Dynamite, pay-per-views, now the Ring of Honor show. I hear that they're crushing it in freaking Mexico as well. These guys are phenomenal. I just needed to tell you guys, if you haven't seen the match with the Briscoes, if you haven't watched the match from last night with the Young Bucks, you need to see it. Phenomenal match. Good on the Briscoes for bringing that energy. Good on the Young Bucks as always for delivering, because they are one of the premier tag teams, obviously, of this generation. Man, just beautiful, beautiful. But let's get into some more fun wrestling, because we had Mania, and Mania warrants its respect. let's talk about night one. WrestleMania Saturday, coming to you live from Arlington, Texas. Jerry World, as they say, the AT&T Stadium. I'm used to saying the Cowboys. Nope, it's the AT&T Stadium. Jerry World. The night started off with the Usos versus Shinsuke Nakamura and Rick Boogs. Usos go over, as they should. Well wishes to Rick Boogs. I hope that he, you know, can recuperate fast. I know it's not easy. But hey, he put it out there, and they performed. They performed. A match that I didn't need, that I really enjoyed, was Drew McIntyre defeating Happy Corbin. Didn't need that match at all, but I thought it was a pretty fun match, man. Drew McIntyre, with this win, obviously he can probably get back into title contention, but whatever they're going to do with this guy, man, he is a phenomenal performer and so over, man. That one, or the 3-2-1 Claymore, I hated it when they first started it, but it got over, and that's the name of the game. You gotta get over. Moving on, The Miz and Logan Paul defeat Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio. Dude, the Miz and Logan Paul, shout out to Logan Paul. You know, people give him a lot of stuff because he's a, you know, he's a YouTuber, you know, but he wants to box, he wants to do this, he wants to do that. He's, you know, he's made a few mistakes in his life. Haven't we all? Let's be honest, haven't we all? But, he performed, man. I thought he looked phenomenal. And judging by the ending of that match, with Miz attacking him, it is very clear that we're going to see Logan Paul again, you know, whether it be a month, at whether it be in the next few weeks, I mean, at WrestleMania Backlash, or whether it be another big show like SummerSlam, we will see Logan Paul again. And he performed, man. I thought he looked great. You know, he was able to do all the high flying. It was cool to see him. I mean, yes, Rey Mysterio is 5'2", but when he leapfrogged Rey, it looked pretty cool. Yeah, Logan Paul, man, if he wanted to, and if WWE wanted to break the bank, Logan Paul would be a phenomenal, phenomenal addition to the roster. You heard that here first. Bianca Belair defeats Becky Lynch for the Raw Women's title. Best women's match of the night. Yeah, of the night, of the weekend, for WWE at least. Bianca Belair is a tremendous babyface. Becky Lynch, whatever she does, she's tremendous as well. I'm interested to see where the story goes. They gave Bianca a big long promo on Monday with no interruptions. I love that. Let her have her moment. You know, I thought her entrance was amazing. Good Lord, with the marching band, and they played to her. Oh, man, Bianca Belair, she is a star. Talking about stars, my favorite moment of the weekend, and I won't equate it to being as significant as when CM Punk returned, because it's very clear. CM Punk, my favorite wrestler of all time. I look to the right of me, there's, you know, whatever, 25 or 30 CM Punk action figures. I have a autographed action figure that's worth about $700 right there. I have a belt that is synonymous with him. Beautiful replica. But it was so awesome to see how the WWE was able to just let Cody Rhodes be Cody Rhodes. He is a phenomenal talent. He is an amazing wrestler. And he had the perfect foil in a Seth freaking Rollins. This is, you know, I prefaced the beginning of this with saying, you know, I haven't been the most faithful watcher. Now, watcher, no. But I listen to post-wrestling. Every show post-wrestling puts out, I listen to, because I'm a patron. I pay to subscribe to pro wrestling because I believe in them. And they're so damn good at their job. John Pollock, I look up to that guy. I wish to be a fraction of what John Pollock is on air. He is a phenomenal journalist. He is a phenomenal podcaster. And honestly, like, if you listen to him for as long as I have, you can probably say that he is a phenomenal human being, John Pollock. But, you know, Seth Rollins, judging by what I've listened to on podcasts, his run has been so-so, we'll say. You know, it's some things are cool, some things are like, oh, this is kind of cringy, but one thing always remains. Seth Rollins is one of the top five best wrestlers under contract for the WWE right now. He's amazing. And this match was so much fun. Cody Rhodes defeats Seth Rollins. They do the pedigree back of, oh my God, such a story. But honestly, if I go back right now, I'm happy. I'm satisfied with just watching the introduction to Cody Rhodes because I think it's that special. You want to talk about MMA? Ronda Rousey, she loses to Charlotte Flair by pinfall for the SmackDown Women's Championship. I didn't think this was great. Unfortunately, Charlotte Flair had a few moments where, you know, not the most ideal scenario, you know, when it comes to a female wrestler, unfortunately. But she worked hard. But Juliana Pena said it best when she said, you know, I don't know how confident Ronda is out there. Or maybe she just needs to change her ring gear, because she's always constantly fixing her top. She's always pulling her shorts down. It's not a good look. I don't think, you know, and she has the fire and she's clearly very talented and she has the edge. She's a natural heel at heart. I don't know what's the issue here. Maybe it's just too forced. But yeah, Ronda, I'm curious to see what they do when they finally get to Ronda versus Becky. And I believe that that will be the main event of next year's WrestleMania when it comes to one of the nights. I think they do both two nights again. I'm curious to see a babyface Becky Lynch versus a heel Ronda Rousey, how that comes off. And then the main event, it was allegedly the KO show, but then it turned into Stone Cold Steve Austin defeating Kevin Owens in a no-holds-barred match. This was a ton of fun. I've watched this multiple times because me, I'm a huge Kevin Owens fan. I remember seeing him in 2014 at the National Guard Armory in Philadelphia, closer to Neshaminy, but still technically Philadelphia. And it was him versus Cliff Compton in like a street fight, and it was bananas. But till then, before that, I just knew him from like videos online. You know, I watched PWG trailers to get my fix of Kevin Owens. I watched compilations of him in Ring of Honor, him versus El Generico. Like, man, Kevin Owens, I've seen it all because of YouTube, you know, and I just felt like a proud papa to see Kevin Owens get to main event WrestleMania, man. It was phenomenal. It was so much fun. And to get to do it against Stone Cold Steve Austin, I think Austin looked great. The beer spots were funny. All the stunners that were given after the match were hilarious. Oh, it was just such a good time. Perfect way to end night one of WrestleMania. And man, what a show. Night one was phenomenal. I'm sure when it comes to wrestling, we'll be talking about that as, you know, one of the shows of the year. It has to finish in the top five. Moving on to night two, I'm going to tell you the truth. It wasn't my favorite Mania, but I think that there was some fun stuff. I think that they could have did better with, you know, mixing up these matches, because I think that there were more matches on the Sunday night that didn't matter versus the Saturday, where there was maybe too much that mattered. So for me personally, Let's just go over it. Roman Reigns defeated Brock Lesnar clean in the middle. Quick match, 12 minutes. Nothing crazy. I don't know where they go with this, but Roman just has BDE. And he has like this superstar aura about him that if you would have told me that 4 years ago, I would have looked at you like you were nuts. Because I just never thought that they could turn the crowd around. And obviously with his return and, you know, coming back from, you know, having leukemia, that was like a big deal. But if you would have told me, like, at the end of the Shield run, that Roman Reigns was going to be have this type of rise, I would have called you a liar. But Pat McAfee defeated Austin Theory. Pat McAfee looked phenomenal. Obviously, he's a great athlete. Past his prime, athletic prime, but I thought that he did great in a wrestling match. I think that he's built for it. I think if he wanted to do this, you know, several times a year, he could. And that led into Mr. McMahon defeating Pat McAfee, which was really random. All that to set up Stone Cold coming back and stunning everybody. Austin Theory, maybe one of the best sold Stone Cold stunners. And Pat McAfee, maybe one of the worst. Or, I'm sorry, Mr. McMahon, probably one of the worst. Let's just jump around here because there's obviously stuff here just meh. Edge defeating AJ Styles, probably the match of the night. 24 minutes, the longest match of the weekend. Setting up Edge, you know, they're probably going to face each other again. But setting up Edge to have a faction with Damian Priest and TBD, to be determined, whoever else. I'm curious what it's going to be called. It's got this like Ministry of Darkness feel to it. Edge hitting on his dark side. AJ Styles clearly pissed off when he came out. I thought that he like scratched his face with his glove. And then Post Wrestling said like he ran into the WrestleMania X sign. So that's unfortunate. But or the star, not the X, the star. Sasha Banks and Naomi are the new WWE Women's Tag Team Champs. Johnny Knoxville and Sami Zayn had a really fun Anything Goes match. Johnny Knoxville also, man, all the celebrities on this show performed. And we know that like Bad Bunny is the where you measure this. Like, if you want a good celebrity match, look at Bad Bunny's match. But I think all the celebrities on this event, on this weekend, did great. And then the opening match, which I thought was great too, and you should definitely watch, RK-Bro retains their titles against the Street Profits and Alpha Academy. At the end, setting up Gable Steveson to come out and throw Chad Gable around. It was kind of whack. What I took away from this weekend as well was Gable Steveson is a charisma vacuum, and he's kind of whack, man. I'm not looking forward to seeing him on WWE television. I'm curious what they do. I hope that they give him someone like a MVP, because he's clearly just a, you know, he's a phenomenal, phenomenal athlete, but how good of a talker is he? And judging by what I saw, not very good. So that's it for WrestleMania weekend, man. And hey, if you don't like the wrestling, listen, it happens like a handful of times a year. Just fast forward. We're getting to the MMA right now. But thank you so much. WrestleMania weekend was awesome. Let's talk about MMA. Let's go into some fight announcements, man, because honestly, no news, like absolutely nothing. You think on a week off, we'd have a ton of things to talk about newsworthy, but the biggest thing to talk about is the card. So before we get into that, let's talk about the fight announcements. So we're confirming the fight that we spoke a little bit about last week. Caitlin Chookagian is back. She is facing Amanda Ribas. That's a phenomenal fight at flyweight. That's a big, big jump for Amanda Ribas. Obviously, we know Caitlin Chookagian is up there when it comes to rankings. So for the UFC, you know, I know, let's be honest, Caitlin Chookagian is a tough, tough cookie. She's ranked at the moment number two in that division. And she's facing the number nine ranked strawweight. So looks like Amanda Ribas is switching divisions to move up. And she's getting a tough opponent, man. It's clear that Valentina's fighting Talia Santos next. We're going to see that, you know, very soon. The top three at the moment, Jessica Andrade, who went back to 115. You have, you also have Caitlin Chookagian, number two, just re-signed, fighting Amanda Ribas, who's debuting in the division. And then you have Lauren Murphy, who just recently fought for the title. So it's clear that the UFC has big plans for someone like an Amanda Ribas. Now, she was slated to face Michelle Waterson, who's one number above her at the flyweight rankings. But if Amanda Ribas is going to go to 125 and face the number two and, you know, beat her, you know, per se, that's a huge, huge jump from being the number nine ranked in another division. So good on her. That's a banger. You have your phenomenal grappler in Caitlin Chookagian, who just really uses like peppering shots really well against, you know, this dynamic striker in an Amanda Ribas. So interesting style matchup. Curious to see the outcome of that one, but that's on May 14th. Then we have Devin Clark versus the big beefy boy, William Knight. Devin Clark was in a main event like 2 years ago. He was ranked, I believe, Devin Clark. And now he's facing William Knight. That is a tough fight for Devin Clark, man. William Knight hits like a Mack truck. Try to wrestle him. I dare you. Speaking of wrestling, Phil Hawes versus Deron Winn. That's on June 18th. Ugh. Banger alert at featherweight. Andre Feely versus Joe Anderson Brito. Oh my God, that is a phenomenal, phenomenal fight, dude. If I was anybody in the UFC, I don't want to fight him. I do not want to fight Joe Anderson Brito. I really don't. Now, Bill Algeo, always game. But I don't want to fight him. No thank you. Moving on. Josh Parisian versus Alan Boudreau. And then my hometown boy, Kyle Daukaus versus one of, if not the most boring fighter in major mixed martial arts, Roman Dolidze, a.k.a. Cheyenne Bay's muse. So, with that being said, that's our fight announcements. Let's get into what you're here for. Let's be honest. UFC 273. We're going back to Florida. From the ViStar Veterans Memorial Arena in Jacksonville, Florida, the UFC is back for Volkanovski versus the Korean Zombie, UFC 273. Dude, this is what it's about. This is what MMA is about. You coming off an amazing off week where you still had, you know, a lot of fun watching pro wrestling. And then you're going into a stacked, let's be honest, this card is stacked. A pay-per-view card, a phenomenal pay-per-view card. Let's start it off. Julio Arce is facing Daniil Santos. One of my standouts at 115 from the Contender Series, Pierre Rodriguez, welcoming her in her UFC debut is Kay Hansen. Kay Hansen, not an easy run since she's come back, huh? I don't see this going too well for her, man. This Pierre Rodriguez is a problem. I think she was, like, my favorite woman from the season and, like, one of my top five best prospects out of the season. She is a phenom. At 7-0 from Colombia, she is just a phenomenal, phenomenal fighter. And you know what's and she went to a decision in her contender series fight, but that didn't matter. She's just a great ball of fire, and she put it on. She really put it on Valeska Machado. But moving up the card, we have Anthony Hernandez taking on the debuting Josh Freemd. I really wish that Drakus Duplessis was still here, but it's good to see Anthony Hernandez again. I believe this is Fluffy's first fight since the, Rodolfo Vieira fight, who we're wishing well to Rodolfo Vieira. He had a health scare, and we're hoping that he gets better. But I think this is a better opportunity for Anthony Hernandez. He was supposed to face Albert Duraev, which is a tough, tough fight for anybody. But let's see if he could shine in this fight at middleweight. Alexei Oleinik, we talked about this last week. He takes on Jared Vandera. We have Mickey Gall coming back to fight the always tough Canadian Mike Mallott. Another one from the Contender Series that we're really high on. Curious to see what he looks like in this fight. Mickey Gall, always game. But, you know, it's like GC on the MMA Hour said. All his wins come against people who aren't in the UFC anymore. So, Aspen Ladd comes back at 135 to take on Raquel Pennington. Let's wish Aspen Ladd the best in her weight cut. Back down to 135, man. I hope that she... hope that she's feeling all right. Raquel Pennington, she's been in the game so long. Let's see. She's 13-8, right? Her first fight, let's go to amateur. Her first fight was an amateur fight in 2009. 2-21-2009. That is insane. And she's still doing it, and she's currently on a 3-fight win streak, which is insane. Congratulations. She has a shot here facing Aspen Ladd to move up in the rankings pretty healthily. Jarzinho Rozenstruik is back versus Martin Tybura. These guys got to do something, man. They really do. Can you remember the conversations that we were having about both these guys? So much so that we threw Rozenstruik into a fight with Francis Ngannou way too early. Way too early. And Tybura, unfortunately, his last fight, it was a tough one, right? Because I remember we were talking about Tybura was going to be like this. Like, he's so such a tough fight, this and that. And then he loses to Volkov. You know, decision, but he still lost. And it was just, it kind of derailed him for a little bit. So we'll see if he could pick up some momentum here against Jarzinho. The future, not mine calling him, that's his nickname, Ian Garry, is back to face Darian Weeks. And I'm going to say it, and I'll eat my words. I don't know if I have this same belief that I have in Ian Garry that I do in like a Khamzat Chimaev. Be completely honest, man. Good talker, decent fighter, obviously undefeated record. He has the swagger. He has the lady on his side everywhere he goes. He clearly carries himself with a bravado that, you know, I don't know. I'm not convinced. We'll just say that. On to the main card. The Olympian, Mark Madsen, is back to face Vince Pichel. I believe that Pichel is he's a favorite, which is tough to believe because Mark Madsen is relentless and a devastating wrestler. So interesting card placement here with that fight, and interesting matchup here. I'm going to be watching that one closely. Another interesting matchup, which has some probably some big ramifications at 115, is Mackenzie Dern returning after her loss to face Tisha Torres, someone who's never been finished, a veteran in the game, always tough. I think this is a terrible matchup for Mackenzie Dern. As much as I enjoy watching her, I realize that her jiu-jitsu is this, you know, she's a phenom, we say. You know, she's just a phenomenal jiu-jitsu practitioner. This is a tough, tough fight for Mackenzie Dern against Tisha Torres. Now, she will have a size advantage on Tisha, as most women do. So we will see what happens here. But let's be honest, if you're watching this card, your eyes are heavy on these top three fights. So we'll start it off with Gilbert Burns versus Khamzat Chimaev. You know, I don't know why we're talking about this fight. This fight, to me, with all due respect, is a blowout. Khamzat Chimaev is going to destroy Gilbert Burns. The line says it, my eyes say it, and my mouth says it. Khamzat Chimaev is going to finish Gilbert Burns in 3 minutes. Have my word, 3 minutes. Moving on to the co-main event to unify the UFC Bantamweight Championship, we have the champion, Aljamain Sterling, versus the interim champion, Piotr Jan. This is a phenomenal fight. Lots of heat this fight weekend. Obviously, tempers are flaring. Piotr Jan, he has that Russian stoicism about him where, like, you look at him and you're like, this guy has killed people. I believe that. Aljamain Sterling, all the confidence in the world. In my mind, I'm sorry to say, it's all delusion. There's no way this guy thinks that he's really going to beat Piotr Jan after that first fight, what he was able to do, after what Piotr Jan was able to do to Corey Sandhagen. Man, Aljamain Sterling, let's be honest, you are delusional. And then in the main event, a phenomenal fight at featherweight. Alexander, I could say this now and mean it. It's his nickname, but I mean it when I say it. Alexander the Great Volkanovski versus the Korean zombie, Chan Sung Jung. This is, you know, this fight kind of like fell into our lap. Hey, Sadie.
Hi.
Papi's recording. Bubby's talking to people. You want to see the people? You can't see them. Give me a second. Sorry about that. Baby Sadie's back from Target. But like I said, I could say it. This fight fell into our lap due to Max Holloway, unfortunately, having a bit of an injury. And I think it's a fun fight, man. We get to see Alexander Volkanovski back again against a really fun, really game fighter in the Korean Zombie. He didn't get that nickname for no reason. You know what I mean? So I'm excited for it. I think this card is stacked top to bottom. I think that might be three of the best fights at the top in a long time. And I think us fans are in for an amazing night of MMA. But with that being said, this has been this week's YBE MMA. I am Josh Prepigina. You can find me on all forms of social media, Elroy Prepson, one word. You can find the show on Instagram at YBE MMA Podcast, as well as Teespring, teespring.com/stores/YBE MMA Podcast. If it's your birthday, happy birthday. Love your mothers. I love you, Mom. Enjoy the fights this weekend, and we'll see you next week.